Hello, everyone, and welcome to this expert audio interview. Today, we're joined by John Agnew, a certified executive and business coach found on CoachToSuccess.com. John lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan, but coaches executives and business owners throughout the world. Thanks so much for being here today, John.
Well, I'm enjoying our conversation, Ashley.
So what do you do now? What is CoachToSuccess.com?
We do executive and business coaching. Executives in large companies and business owners in small companies. And we do it by telephone all over the world and through the internet as well.
How do you find your clients?
Well, actually, they find me. I work primarily through referrals from past clients or from business people that know what I do. And I believe that you can't sell coaching, that your reputation is what draws people to you.
Mm. And how did you get started? Where was your first coaching experience?
Well, about a dozen years ago, I was operating as a management consultant working on early stage turnarounds. And what I discovered is I would come into an organization and fix it, if you would, and then get the right people in the right seats and disengage. Mm-hmm. I found in doing that, in the consulting mode, that I walked away with the knowledge, and those problems that had I had solved reoccurred. And so I decided at that time that what I really wanted to do was coach people to fix their own problems, and when that happens, they stay fixed.
Mm-hmm. So is that sort of what differentiates coaching from consulting?
Yeah, coaching is telling and advising and that kind of thing. Coaching is more reflective. Coaching is help the client, the person being coached, discover those aha moments when they find that this is the right path for them. So as a coach, we have to hold back our opinions and perceptions and allow the person being coached to articulate what their issues are. And as they do that, we kind of guide them with questioning so they can go deeper into their thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And what is consulting then? What is the difference?
Well, a consultant is an expert that comes in and fixes things for a company and advises the company on new processes or software or things that they should be doing. And as a management consultant, I came in and actually got involved in the whole organization and kind of took the lead within the organization to make things happen. A coach is someone who's on the sidelines. People don't know who I coach unless the person being coached tells them they have a coach and that coach is me. Mm-hmm. So I'm, as a coach, I'm a advisor, but a advisor only to the person being coached. And he or she doesn't have to divulge who that relationship.
Do you coach company-wide sometimes, like a whole group of employees?
Well, we would do that in workshops and training. I could be called in to do that. But from a personal coaching standpoint, usually the people within an organization do not see me. I'm somebody from the outside.
Okay. And I'm curious, what makes it necessary for coaches to come in, theoretically, a company could maybe fix themselves, so to speak, but I'm curious what a coach does for a professional or a company.
Well, the higher you go up the chain, the more isolated you are.
Hmm.
And so it's important to have someone that you can open your kimono to, if you will, that you can talk in a very safe and confidential manner and say the unsayable to each other, to reach clarity, to reach awareness. And you can't do that with your boss, you can't do that with your coworker, you can't do that with your spouse or your best friend. because you have to protect those relationships. Mm-hmm. But with a coach, you really don't have to protect yourself. And so as you're in a executive role or an owner of a company, you really need to be able to lay out your feelings, your thoughts to someone in a very safe and confidential way.
Mm-hmm. And how have you found your success? You know, there seems to be a lot of competition out there. What has been your differentiating point?
Well, I think primarily by helping people become successful, the law of attraction kicks in, and they want what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've been coached, you understand how valuable it is, and you will recommend your coach to others. And that also works within an organization. If a company employs you to be a coach for one of their executives, you actually have a dual responsibility, but your main responsibility is to the person being coached. However, once that person is being coached and they're developing their leadership skills, let's say, and doing much better productivity than they were previously, that is shown within the company, and the HR people and the CEO and so on see that happening, and then they try to engage you to coach others within their organization.
Mm-hmm. Do most business coaches have their own sort of business? I don't want to say consultancy because it's a little different, but they sort of work as an independent consultant, right?
Well, we don't consult. You know,
right,
I'm a recovering consultant,
oh, okay.
if you will. And so coaching is much different than consulting. With consulting, again, you're taking the lead, you're giving the advice. With coaching, you're listening, you're asking questions, you're helping the person being coached to reach a decision that works well for him and his company.
Okay. And for the most part, you work outside of a company, right? Sort of as
yes.
your own firm?
And the reason for that is that no executive within a company wants the HR department or his or her supervisors to know their weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So as an outside consultant, you can maintain that confidentiality with the person being coached. And if you can't reach that area of trust, then the coaching doesn't work because mm-hmm. the person can't open up.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, there are some organizations that have inside coaches, they call them, but the executives generally would not want to work with somebody like that because of their dual responsibility to communicate what they're doing from a coaching standpoint with other people within the organization.
Mm-hmm. What are some necessary skills to be a successful coach?
Well, one of the main ones is that you have to have been there. You have to have walked in the shoes of the person you're coaching because they understand where your experience is and how you can help them. And so being experienced in business, being experienced in leadership is going to be important if you're coaching at the executive level. As far as what your skills and abilities are, we probably should talk about the coaching outcomes. And by doing that, you can understand what the coach has to do. The
okay.
outcomes are helping the person being coached become aware of how other people see them, how they see themselves, what their perceptions are, helping them understand what's important to them and from a job from a life standpoint? What's their purpose? Bringing them to an area of competency as far as their skills, and those could be their soft skills, the leadership skills, interpersonal skills that are extremely important in the management role, or it could be other competencies that have been identified through assessments and so on. And then also having a sense of well-being so that they have the confidence, the self-confidence that they're on the right track of development. So for a coach, you need more than just technical knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about consulting, a consultant could be pretty good if they are technically qualified. They certainly do need some interpersonal skills, but with a coach, it's all about helping that person understand their emotional intelligence, helping them understand the psychology of what's going on within the corporate culture, helping them understand how other people see them.
And how do you strengthen your skills? Are there particular steps you took to become a better coach?
Yes. When I transferred from being a consultant to a coach, I actually went through coach training, which was a six-month activity, and that really helped me to hold back in trying to advise and tell people how to do things, and instead listen to what was going on, listen to what was behind the words, and helping the individual get to that area of self-awareness where there's great leverage for change.
How do you keep up to date with maybe changing trends in the coaching industry, if there are any such things?
Well, I don't think there are changing trends in the industry because coaching's not really industry-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I have a broad experience being a corporate executive, an entrepreneur, a management consultant, but what I've found with coaching is it's more about the person being coached and how they see their world. And as they go inside and understand what drives them, they get a better understanding of how they need to behave in a corporate setting.
When building your business, what has been important for clients? I mean, I know there's a lot of options out there, so what do you think made them choose you over another coach?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, reputation is what gets them here. They may do a search on the internet, for example, and find me, and then we have a conversation and talking about what they see as their greatest challenge. And we discuss that, and they get a feel then that they might be able to allow their perceptions to evolve through a coaching and engagement.
For someone looking to enter the coaching space, I'm curious if you have maybe some tips on how to earn or gain that experience that they maybe lack initially.
Well, I think if you're going to do executive or management coaching, you have to have been a manager or executive. I don't think you can just come in and say, okay, now I'm a coach. About 6 years ago, I helped a consulting company do a internal brochure on coaching. It was called Winning Coaching. And the reason they wanted their consultants to be more coach-like is because coaching works, and so they wanted to integrate coaching into their consultancy, and they're doing that pretty well now. But the whole point is you can be coach-like, but you aren't qualified to be a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you have to make that transition from being a consultant, a manager, a CEO, whatever, into coaching. It's a much different situation.
What differs you from, you know, being in the position of the executive? How do you translate that to coaching someone else?
Would you repeat that?
So you mentioned that you sort of have to make this transition,
mm-hmm.
and I'm curious how you translate your past experience, you know, as an executive or whatever role you had before. How do you translate that to coach someone else?
Well, it comes out in the questions you ask, in the understanding you have about the person being coached situation. If the individual, if the person being coached asks you for advice, as a coach, you can certainly give them that advice, but you don't volunteer it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really about helping them discover what works for them, what's important for them. In other words, the coach has to take his perceptions, his, how can you say it, opinions out of the conversation.
Mm. A consultant does that, though, right?
Well, not necessarily. I've been on both sides of the table there. A consultant is selling a concept.
Right. I'm sorry. That's what I meant. They're more selling their opinions or selling
yes.
their beliefs. Okay.
Right. Where a coach is not doing that. A coach, a good coach does not do that because that way the coach is putting his or her opinions and perceptions and beliefs into the other person, which may or may not fit.
Mm, okay.
So that's kind of the difference. Some therapists are coming into coaching now because they can charge, you know, $300 an hour like I do versus $90 an hour as a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that, they have to understand that coaching is different than therapy. Therapy is helping the individual understand where they are and how they got to be where they are. A coach helps the individual understand where they are and then helps them vision where they want to be and then helps them build a bridge from where they are to where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So coaching is much more positive, whereas therapy is much more, let's kind of find out how this thing happened to get you where you are today.
I guess I always saw the two pretty similar. I mean, every time I've had therapy, it had been to help me break through past experiences, but then also how to move away from my current situation that brought me to therapy in the first place.
Mm-hmm. That's a good therapist. But most therapy is helping you understand how you got there.
Okay.
And what we do is, you know, as a coach, we do help the individual be aware of where they are and how other people perceive them and how they perceive themselves. But we're more forward-oriented than going back because we don't see that and we are not qualified to be therapists.
Okay. But you take into account past, right? I mean, because that can affect the future outcome as well?
Well, we focus on today's behavior.
Okay.
And today's perceptions. Not, you know, not how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are many self-assessments that we use so people can get a view of themselves from different angles. They can get a holistic view of how they would normally default as far as their behavior is concerned. And
mm-hmm.
so we help them in, you know, holding back and making choices of how they want to behave.
Okay. What are businesses or clients looking for when hiring a coach? Aside from, you know, testimonials or getting a referral, when it actually comes to speaking with you and maybe getting a proposal, what are some important aspects that a hiring company may look for?
Well, I think the first thing is that they want to, I don't want to say fix somebody, but they want to see some improvement in the individual. Mm-hmm. And so they want to know about what your methodology is as far as developmental coaching is concerned. And so that's a subject that can be of importance to the corporation, if you will, or organization that is hiring a coach. As it relates to the individual, they want to know that you are there as their coach to help them, to be an advisor to them, to assist them in understanding what's going on in a confidential manner, and that you're not going to tell their weaknesses, as I mentioned before, to others.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we do that as far as executive coaching is we have a meeting between the corporate sponsor, which could be an HR person or it could be a CEO or it could be the boss of the individual and the coach. And we talk about what the developmental goals are, and we get everybody on the same page. And once everybody's on the same page, then we decide to go forward. And once we go forward, then we don't have any conversations as a coach with the corporate sponsors, with the HR people, or with the boss of the individual until 3 months down the road. Then the three of us or four of us get together again and talk, and at that meeting, the person being coached is the one that takes the lead and talks about what he or she has done from a personal development standpoint. And the coach is there primarily as a referee or coordinator. And then we go back and continue the coaching and would do it the next, after 3 months again, the same way, so that the sponsor is advised about the progress of the individual from the individual, but yet through that, let's say that 6 month period, they're also seeing performance differences and interpersonal relationship differences in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we maintain the confidentiality while still advising the corporate sponsor about the progress.
Okay. For a lot of companies, is coaching something that they actively participate with?
Well, it's becoming more and more of a coach-like work environment. And the reason for that is the millennials or the Generation Y coming in. These folks have been brought up as children of the baby boomers, and the baby boomers have really coached them, if you will, through their childhood. And they expect to be coached in the workplace today.
Mm.
So coaching is becoming more important that the managers and leaders of an organization are leader coaches of their employees.
So a leader coach acts as both a leader and a coach?
Well, is more coach-like. It doesn't mean they're a professional coach. It just means that that they use the techniques they've learned by being coached with others.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, once you're coached and you understand how the process works and it's worked very well for you, then you will imitate that with the people that work with you.
Okay. Do you hire coaches for your own firm?
I don't myself, but what I do is I work with other coaches within an organization. I may put a group of coaches that have similar training and experience that I do to match them with people being coached.
Aside from similar experience, what do you look for in that coach? Are there specific characteristics or, you know, training that they have? What makes you choose them over someone else?
Well, in some cases it relates to level of experience. In some cases it relates to their interpersonal style. with different people. We do some stereotyping as it relates to what the self-assessments tell us. Have you done any self-assessments, Ashley?
You know, I'm not sure. I may have.
Like the Myers-Briggs or the DISC?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Any of those?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what my letters were for the Myers-Briggs, but
okay.
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, what we help our clients do is we help them understand that, what the Strengths Finder tells them, or the Standout, which is the new one, and those are in their innate talents, and we help build those into strengths, and they start using the language of the assessments to work with their team. And in many cases, when I've worked for corporations, I've actually assessed different teams with the leader and helped them use the language of the assessment to reduce emotions within the workplace. Mm-hmm. And so as we do that, we do some stereotyping of how different people make meaning so that we can kind of diffuse the emotions in the workplace. Many people think the others think the way they do, and they really don't. We all perceive differently and have different assumptions, beliefs, guiding principles, values, and visions, and we have to kind of sort those out, those intangibles out, in the coaching practice, because what's important to one person that may be working on the team is not important to another.
Mm-hmm. When stereotyping things like that, does it sort of allow for error? Because, I'm curious if that may complicate things further by somewhat assuming, but maybe I'm
well,
not understanding.
Well, it's not assuming. It's based upon self-assessments.
Right, right.
In many cases, what we do, well, let me give you an example how this works in a company.
Okay.
I would individually talk to a person who took a self-assessment through an hour's conversation over the telephone, which is going to be safe and confidential.
Mm-hmm.
But their profile then would be given to their team. And so each team member would have the profile of each person on the team and would know how they were different than the other person, which allows them in their interpersonal meetings with the other person to get more in line with the other person so that they can discuss things without having emotions rise up.
Mm.
So it's actually using the language, if you will, of the assessment that is helpful in greasing the skids of communication.
Yeah, emotions are tricky, huh?
Well, I have a license plate on my car that says think on it, because I'm an analytical kind of guy, but I've over the years understood that all of my decisions are emotional, and I justify them and rationalize them analytically. So we do need to be emotionally intelligent in the workplace. Because that's all the work is done through relationships, and it's important to be able to manage those relationships.
Right. Do you have a list maybe that you could provide to people listening of how to really be a successful coach, and maybe like your top three tips or lessons you've learned over the years?
I sure do, but it's not, it's not a recipe. It all depends upon who the individual is and what their needs are, what their perceptions are.
Mm-hmm.
But they are welcome to Google me, and I have a number of websites, and I have one that's a blog on leadership. It's called CoachingTip.com, where we talk about a number of leadership tips and actually do reviews of leadership books.
Hmm. Are there certain things that you've learned over the years, like you know, be sure to listen. I'm curious if there's certain things that you've,
sure.
or maybe it's mistakes that you've made that you've learned from.
Well, I think it's important to listen and ask questions as the client articulates the issues, because when we're talking, we're not thinking. We're only thinking about what we're going to say next. So as we listen as coaches or managers, we are starting to understand what's behind the words of the person that's speaking. And that gives us the opportunity then to ask questions, to go deeper into the conversation, and the person then speaking comes to a point of what we call an aha moment, mm-hmm. where they recognize that through their articulation that they've actually solved their own issue.
Hmm. So it's kind of like self-help.
It's guided self-help.
Uh-huh.
You know, self-talk is destructive, because we're talking to ourselves all the while, and those intangibles I mentioned, our assumptions, beliefs, values, guiding principles, and vision, are our own, and they aren't coming from the outside. But from working with a coach, you're getting another pair of eyes, another pair of ears, another brain that's observing what your reality is, and helping you through questions to challenge some of the perceptions you have, which allows you then to allow those perceptions to evolve, which means that you are then developing yourself. Leadership development is really just self-development.
Applied to a leadership role?
Well, yeah. Leadership's important today, I think, in just about everything that we do. In America, we're becoming more and more of an entrepreneurial nation. And so we don't have a lot of middle management like we did probably 20, 30 years ago. And so people are intelligent workers, and they have to basically be leaders of their own area of responsibility today, rather than having somebody tell them what to do.
Yeah, that makes work harder, huh?
Well, it does. But taking a team view, what the team does, it tends to break down the work so that the people who really like doing things best will do those things, and the things they hate doing or don't like doing well, other people will take on. So the team then becomes more of a sponge and takes and helps. We help each other as team members carry a heavier load.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we go forward, we're going to all be expected to do more with less. And if it's not just up to us to do the more with less, if we have team members, it really does help us. And that's
right.
And the way that happens is really working on our leadership capabilities and our interpersonal skills.
Do you have an example of a mistake that you've made, if you have one, in your coaching experience that maybe you've learned from today?
That I've learned from today? Oh.
Well, one that you've learned from, I guess.
Yeah, I think... being a consultant coming into coaching, the greatest thing I've learned is to listen rather than to speak, to hold back and understand what's coming behind the words, rather than trying to sell somebody on taking my advice.
Is there anything else you want to add here? Anything I didn't touch on?
Well, I've been doing most of the talking, so I haven't been thinking. Is there anything that you'd like me to go into in more depth?
I think the biggest question for me would be how to go about overcoming that sort of chicken and the egg problem, where most companies want you to have experience, but in order to get that experience, you need to have someone to give you that opportunity. Is there, like, maybe a set of advice tips you have there, like volunteer or, you know, coach anyone? How did you really build that clientele?
Well, I think the key to that is being collaborative. And what we're seeing with the Gen Ys, the millennials, they are very collaborative. They work in teams very well together. And so they are going to be getting a broad range of experiences in whatever they do in whatever organization it is. And so I would say to, you know, the baby boomers and the Gen Xs who are their managers, is allow them to spread their wings and do those kinds of things, because that's how they'll learn.
And what about the generation after them? You know, how are they fitting into the workplace?
Well, after the Gen Ys?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 24, so am I Generation X? No, I'm Generation Y.
You're Generation Y.
The people under me, I guess, would still be in their teens?
Yes.
Okay. So they're not really in the workspace yet.
No, it's still the... It's still the Gen Xs, the millennials, they're coming into the workplace now. And they've grown up in prosperity. Their parents have coached them. Their baby boomer parents have been called helicopter parents because they've been over them all the while, you know, making sure they did all the things they should do. Mm-hmm. And they're expecting to be coached in the workplace today. So those are the ones that... are collaborating and are really shaking up the workplace. And so it's up to the Gen Xs and the baby boomers to get in shape to help them succeed by being more coach-like.
So we're making people adapt?
The managers are having to adapt, yes, because they just can't call a meeting, get everybody in a meeting, because the people that are working for them now are using texting and telephone conversations and quick conversations to make things happen, and they don't want to be slowed down by sitting in an hour or two meeting somewhere. So, yeah, this generational issue is a big one. And it's really, really important for organizations to be much more coach-like than they are today.
I think you answered everything, John. It's been great talking with you.
Well, I've enjoyed our conversation, although I've been doing all the talking.
Well, that's what an interview's about. Well, thank you again, John. It was great listening to your advice, and, you know, I think it's been very helpful for those listening.
Well, good. And thank you. And I hope you have a wonderful life, Ashley.
Thank you. You too, John.
Bye.
Take care.